You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wham Goat presents the Band Flip Podcast.
What is up? Welcome to this week's episode of Lamb Goat's Band Flip Podcast. Today I am joined by Tyler from the Louisiana-based rock and roll band Capra. How you doing today, buddy?
Great, man. How are you? Thanks for having me.
No, you're good. And to clarify, not really rock and roll, but you know, it's a slew of genres. Metallic hardcore is what they're calling it these days, but hardcore, screamo, post-hardcore is a little bit of everything tossed into the mix.
Blend it all together.
Yeah. You guys got a busy week coming up, and then you got a busy rest of the year, I think. You guys just recently released a new single. This is going to come out in a couple weeks, but in today's time, I think last week or this week, you've released a new single and announced the next album that's coming up through Metal Blade in October.
Yes, we have definitely rest of the year is absolutely insane. Most of which we've announced. Some of it'll come pretty soon. Just released the new single, first single from the new album titled Errors, and then we should have another one out in about a month or so.
Nice. So yeah, right around the time this comes out, I think that single will be hitting. And if you're watching the podcast and you see me dab my forehead and or mouth, that's because I had to run downstairs to grab my headphones to talk to Tyler. But like Tyler is experiencing, I live in Florida, he's in Louisiana, and we are having like the coolest summer of all time, where it's like 130 degrees every day and the humidity is up to 150%. So you step outside and instantly you're covered in sweat, no matter how long you're out
there.
You're
wet. So,
is that fun for tour? Because I know you guys probably DIY tour a lot, you know what I mean? I'm assuming like crash on floors, hotels when you can, or sleep in the van if you have to.
Right. We haven't done, I mean, we've done like the, you know, a full US, which like it's just anywhere in the South is bad. You got the different levels of heat. We did the full US tour last summer, driving just through the desert. I mean, even with the AC cranked was pretty rough, like a dry heat. So, that's not fun. Mm-mm. We don't play too much around this area. We'll go up the East Coast, we'll do West Coast and Northern areas. So it's cool to feel cooler weather.
Yeah, especially in the summertime. Because down here in the Southeast, it is brutal with the fucking humidity and everything. But you know what? One thing I didn't realize about driving out west, especially during the summer and during the daytime, is like you were saying, like you have to have the AC on all the time, but you're also like looking into the sun all day long. So it's just like heating the car up or the van up the entire time. And that was
the best part is that for that last US tour, we were with Bummer and they had no AC in their van. So we were worried about them for most parts, but they rigged up this like ice chest with ice and these electric fans plugged into their lighter sockets to blow the ice on them. These guys are something else. I don't know how they made it.
That sounds like it would be a bummer to be a part of that band.
Right. absolutely.
For that time frame. So I think you guys kind of popped up on my radar when you guys started playing through here a lot. You'd play Archetype a lot, and I think some of the shows were with like the Holy Ghost, Tabernacle Choir, and a couple other bands. So you guys have come through here a lot, and I think we ran into you guys at Furnace Fest as well last year. So And how long have you guys been a band completely? Are you more like a in the last decade, 5 years type thing, right?
Total, like Jeremy and I started it in end of 2015.
Yeah, okay.
So some years. Crow joined in 2018, I believe.
So after you were on...
I mean, that's technically the start of it.
Okay. So Crow wasn't on any of the Blacklight stuff that came out in Blacklight?
Yeah. Everything that you can hear now is with her.
Okay.
We had a different vocalist before. Just didn't work out with that, and then decided we tried Crow out, and she killed it. And then ever since, you know, I think Locust Preacher was the first song we wrote with her. And we only took like two or three songs that we had in the catalog before her time. So everything else was new, and it just kind of catapulted the direction we wanted to take that band even further.
Yeah. So I fucking hate talking about COVID, but here we go again, because you guys started out before COVID, then obviously one third of your, you know, time as a band is spent in that, you know, window. So,
it was horrible.
Yeah. I think I don't know for sure if I saw you before COVID or right afterwards.
I believe the first time we played Jacksonville, which was at Archetype, was after COVID.
Okay.
I think it was 2021, I believe we were able to do something in like November of that year.
Yeah.
And I believe that's when we went out there. We met up with Holy Ghost and all of them.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I think the first show back that was like March for me of that year was Madball there at Archetype. It was fucking crazy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was packed, so you can only imagine. I definitely was like, someone's gonna get sick for sure. I think we all did get sick.
That was a guarantee.
Just like sick and not COVID, just like we hadn't been around anybody in like months, you know what I mean? And then you put 200 of us or something in a room and someone's gonna get the sniffles, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
But yeah, so I want to talk about like the new album and, you know, signing to Metal Blade, because that's pretty big. You guys started out on Blacklight. You had a release or two on there. And then, you kind of announced the new album earlier this month and released, like you said, the new single. So how did you guys get on the radar for Metal Blade?
We have been working with Matt Bacon for a long time. Been friends with him for a while, and then kind of he was helping us get our like social media down, because we're like you said, we're like, we come from a DIY background where it's like we don't like social media, we don't want to post, I never expected people to listen to this band, so it was just kind of like for us and for our friends. And then Matt just kept pushing us. He's like, you know, people are going to want to hear this. Then I think it got into the hands of Chris Santos, who owns Blacklight Media. He loved it. He brought it to Brian Slagle. Brian loved it. And all of this was just unbelievable to me. I was like, are you serious? Like, people like this? Like, okay, that's awesome. And then COVID happened. You know, we got an email, I think in December or January, maybe 2020, from Metal Blade and Blacklight to sign. And we were like, oh yeah, this is crazy. So as we're working it out, then the pandemic hits in March. Mm. And we're like, oh, Metal Blade shut down. Everything shut down. We were like, we might have just like got offered a deal, lost the deal because of this.
Right.
So we don't know what's happening. But they did hit us up again in July of 2020, and we made it happen. We added some more songs to In Transmission and got to put it out in April of 2021, which is only because we tried to push it as far back as we could in order to tour with it. And even then, we couldn't tour with it at that time.
Yeah, it sucks.
So we waited till November to tour. It was a mess. Just having that album done for so long, and then, being able to tour it a year later, it just set everything back, you know?
Oh,
but
yeah,
it allowed us
sure.
to write more songs for the next album and stuff like that.
For sure. You mentioned just now about social media and, like, a lot of DIY bands. What the fuck is that all about? I hate that. Because, like, when I try to share something about, like, a band that maybe is less known, right? Let's say it's, like, a lesser-known hardcore or metal band, and they're newer, and I'm out here like, oh, I really dig this thing. Let me try to, give them some love on Lambgoat or whatnot and post and share their stuff. Then I'll go look around and see, like, they don't have social media. And it boggles my head. And it bums me out because I can't, like, you know, point the audience that's looking at Lambgoat to a specific place other than maybe like the Spotify or the you know,
right.
YouTube link or something.
Or something like that,
So what is that whole situation? Like, is it just bucking the social media thing? Because now that we're like, you know, almost 20 years with social media, like people are like, ah, fuck it. It is a tool.
We had it at the time, just like kind of barely used it. I think what it is one, kind of feel like just nobody cares, and also this is for me, I do this for me, and two, it sort of makes it feel like a job, honestly.
Yeah, no, I get that.
Having to do that constantly and all day and stuff like that.
Is it something that one person would handle in your band, or would like multiple people
handle? Oh yeah, I do it.
Yeah, you should probably get multiple people to do it, and then it doesn't feel like a job. Although, I understand, well, it's a job anyway. Hey, what's up? It's Lurk. Looks like you're enjoying the podcast. If you are and you like what we're doing here on The Van Flip, why don't you go ahead and pause this and give us a rating and review on whatever platform you're listening to. If you want to find out any information on your favorite bands from the hardcore and metal scene, visit lambgoat.com. And to stay in the loop about everything that we post on lambgoat.com, make sure you like us on Facebook and you head over to Twitter and Instagram and follow us at lambgoat. Are you a full-grown adult and you also have a TikTok account? Congrats. Follow us on TikTok as well. You can find us under the username lambgoat.com. That's spelled out D-O-T-C-O-M. Head over to our YouTube channel where we have all of these podcasts in video format, plus a lot more content that you should check out. Make sure you hit that subscribe button and you hit that notification bell so you're always alerted when we upload new content. And last but not least, if you want to follow me, Lurk, the host of the show, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at LurkCity. And as always, if you need any of the links that pertain to the artists on the show today, Lambgoat, or myself, you can always find them in the description. Thanks for listening to this message. Now let's get back to the show.
Yeah, I mean, we all have our own things that we do to contribute. And then, you know, certain things with social media I've just learned to do. And it's kind of one of those things where if somebody else does it, I'm like, that's not right.
Yeah. I understand. Yeah, it was because I was talking to even the guys at RevHQ, and they were like, yeah, we were talking about a certain band. I'm not going to say who they are, but they were like, they just don't care about it, so I just made one for them and like they run it
like a fan page.
Yeah, it's like it's a fan page for the band, like, but it's supposed to be the band's page, but the band has nothing to do with it. Yeah, so
there's so many great bands that just don't have a social media presence.
Yeah, I know. And I wonder like how that works too for the band. I mean, like, it goes back to like the tape trading and like word of mouth days, obviously, like that kind of vibe, which makes it cool. But also, like, I don't know. Sometimes I can forget about a band if I don't see their stuff on social media because I'm on social media so often. And, you know, all the stuff is just flying by on the feed. And, you know, if I see a visual aid, it kind of keeps that band fresh in my mind. But, yeah, it's strange how, like, certain bands just don't give a shit and they'll just power forward and just continue doing well.
Yeah, I mean, I think from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Thou is probably...
Yeah.
The best example of that. Like, for years they didn't have it. Brian had started NOLA DIY website, which would announce their shows. Now they have like I think now they use like Twitter and Instagram and stuff, but their Facebook is still just like a fan group that was made for them.
Yeah, do you need a Facebook? I mean, I don't know, all the old cats are on Facebook, so who knows.
Yeah, I honestly hardly ever use it. I do Instagram and Twitter and stuff, but like Facebook, I'll just post and get out of there.
Yeah, like our audience is definitely on Facebook. That's just because, you know, we're all older guys that are into metal, so a lot of them are on there. We're trying to grow the younger audience, you know. Then we're pretty good at it, but you know, covering newer bands like yourself and the Holy Ghost and Callous and all those other bands that we were talking about prior to getting on here. You know, we're trying to grow the scene in general and grow the audience, introduce more people to wilder, crazy, life-ruining music.
Yeah, and it's definitely out there. Oh. I mean, I think some of these newer bands that are coming out are just, they're changing the game, honestly.
For sure, I agree. A lot of the newer, like, younger, super young bands, like on Days and all those, fuck, what's the other one? I'm fucking blanking right now. Flat Spot and all these other bands, or all those other labels, they've gotten some really cool, even metalcore bands, but mostly hardcore bands that are really pumping the scene, the younger kids into the scene. But to each his own. You guys are leaving for Europe tomorrow, so by the time fans and people are listening to this, you might still be in Europe. Looking forward to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be a fun time. We have some cool shows, some cool festivals to do. A little stressful, but...
Yeah. How long is that trip? How long is the trip over there for you guys?
I think we fly back August 28th, so...
No, I'm sorry. Like, how long is the travel time from like, where you're at in Louisiana to wherever you'll be? What's the first date? France?
Oh, okay. It's so confusing. We leave tomorrow... 2 p.m. from New Orleans, but then we fly to Houston, then we fly to Denver, think, then to France. So
Wow.
it's a lot of traveling, and we'll get there the next day. But I think we only have like 12 hours until the first show.
Nice. Okay. Do you guys travel with all your equipment, or do you like get equipment across the pond?
Oh, we have, yeah, a whole backline set up for that. And then we bring, like, I bring my guitars, two basses, and cymbals, pretty much it.
Interesting. And why, in your opinion, why do some bands not bring, like, why do some bands just go direct in? Is it for travel expenses? Because some of those bands that I've seen are like coming from Australia, and some of the, like, metalcore bands from Europe, they'll just come over, and I'll like, what, you know, I'll see them perform, and I'm like, ah, there's no fucking backline or, you know, amps. I was like, and it visually just throws me off.
Why they're not using amps is beyond me, but I mean, shipping amps is very hard. Backline's not cheap, so I understand like that part of it. Maybe they can't afford to do that with travel expenses and stuff.
These are bigger bands, so I would hope they can. If you guys are doing it, no offense, but if you're taking your stuff over there, I would expect these bands to bring their stuff
Yeah,
over.
dude, honestly, I have no idea. I have to have the amp, man.
Yeah.
It just gotta have it.
It just looks off, to be honest with you, and I've seen a handful of bands that do that, and it's like, it just, I don't know, man.
Well, you also don't feel that power from the
Right,
amp.
right. No, I get that. Well, whatever. What are you looking for? Where are you looking forward to, going to most in Europe? Is this like your first time in Europe?
So it's Capra's first time in Europe.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say, not yours specifically.
I did a tour in 2018 with a different band out there for a month and a half, 2 months. And it's cool. I don't really do the whole touristy thing. I mean, we don't really have time to do the whole
Yeah.
touristy thing. So just some of the festivals we're playing, like Brutal Assault and Summer Breeze, Metal Days, stuff like that, it's going to be very fun. I know there's some really cool bands playing. I think Converge is playing one of the days that we'll be there. Gonna be a fun time.
Are you guys going by yourself, and you're just playing with bands along the way?
Yep.
Nice. Did you guys, was that a DIY booking situation, or was that with through like Blacklight
No,
Metal
we
Blade?
have a European booking agent out there.
Oh, nice. Growing pains, right?
Yeah,
That's
that's
good though.
right.
That's good. That's good. Are you guys at Furnace Fest this year? Because I know you guys played last year, and that's we ran into each other, and you were selling hot sauce, right? Or no, the hot sauce guy was next to
That hot sauce guy was next to us. Yeah,
Yeah.
it was good too. But no, we're not there this year. We just did the benefit bash in
Nice, yeah.
June,
How was that?
so we did that. Maybe we'll play next year. I think it's like an every other year type thing.
Yeah, it's weird. Sometimes they do, they I know that's what they try to strive for, but then I'm like, this band's played last year too. This band played last year too. Which I'm not complaining, you know what I mean? But
I think it depends on maybe like a new album or something. Or I know, like, so last year, Comeback Kid played like twice. That was their second year to play, but they had
and
just
Figure
released.
Four, and Figure Four was playing too. They were all over.
Yeah, it was incredible. But the Comeback Kid played twice, I think, just because of the album release and stuff like that. And then Norma Jean had issues last year, so they're gonna do it again this year with a better time. It was great because Maylene had issues with the microphone, and then seeing them do the benefit bash was awesome.
Yeah, I was
Everything worked
gonna, yeah,
perfect.
how was that? Like,
Incredible.
yeah, Dallas is, we've been working with Dallas on some stuff, so we're looking forward to putting that out. But so, when we were there last year, it was very, I mean, you can't really fault anybody for it, but the microphone situation was like a bummer, and I was like, something's off, because, like, you know, I'm on stage, and I'm like, something sounds off, because, you know, I don't know if they can hear him, but yeah, it took a
No,
couple
I don't
songs.
know what happened. And then, they came out first song, Caution. Everybody wanted to hear that. Vocals didn't work. It was cool seeing the crowd sing it and do
Yeah.
everything. But I know that was probably a nightmare to be on stage
For
while that was
sure.
happening.
What are some other, like, because I was thinking that's a pretty memorable moment, Dallas's comeback and some other things. What are some other moments that you've kind of been a part of witnessing while in the band, like playing a festival or playing a tour or something like that? Have you had any one of those, like, what the fuck am I doing here kind of moments, you know, like, how'd I make it here?
I mean, pretty much every day at this point. We just did, April was a tour with Killswitch Engage,
Oh
which I used to joke
yeah.
about. I used to joke like, oh, next year we'll be touring with Killswitch Engage. Like, and then it happened, which was insane.
Manifesting.
so many things. Like, I mean, the news is out there now because everybody's seen the track list for the new album, but our next single, which is going to be a song called Human Commodity, we have Candace from Walls of Jericho as a guest vocalist on,
Nice.
which is insane to me because it's just, you know, getting adding Crow to the band at the time where we parted ways with our last vocalist. I really wanted to switch things up, and I wanted to. I literally put a status on Facebook that was like, "Hardcore needs more women." And then we got in touch with Crow, but it was all inspired by, you know, Walls of Jericho, and I was listening to Gouge Away and Oathbreaker at the time, and so it's kind of like when those worlds like have the inspiration, and then like why we did it comes together, and it's an incredible feeling.
Yeah, was there any kind of mix up, not mix up, but any kind of like, you know, not, I don't want to, commotion when you guys switched over vocalist within the fan base? No?
No, I mean, we really didn't have a fan base at that time.
Bonus.
We were like just on the local level. Like everybody in our city knew who we were and what we were doing. But no, it was pretty smooth.
Nice.
And I think people understood, you know.
Yeah. When did you guys start realizing that you were the people outside Louisiana were like giving a shit?
I think when the album came out,
Yeah.
honestly, or probably February or March of 2020, whenever The Locust Preacher came out, we dropped that song. That was the first time anyone was hearing this band with Crow on
Right.
vocals to do something. Or maybe I'm confused because I think we released an EP with her on it as well. But anyway, it's just that kind of took off quicker than I imagined.
Interesting. And sorry. And what was like, what's the motivation and inspiration for Capra? Because you were in other bands prior. So are you approach like do you approach or do you and the rest of the members approach Capra differently from your previous stuff? Or is there like a goal with Capra?
Jeremy and I have been, I think, nine bands together over the course of our life, and then, you know, Crow had her own bands, Trevor had his own bands, and over the years we kind of just all were doing things that I think were popular. Like, you know, there was like phases of different genres in music. I
Like
was like,
following a
oh,
trend, like following a trend or
I
something like
can, yeah, I can play that. Like, you know, if there was two or three doom bands in our city, I'd be like, let's start a doom band and let's make it awesome.
that.
And so we did that, and that was our band right before, it was Jeremy and I's band right before we started Capra. And then I went through, like, I mean, I was struggling with addiction through all of that, so I ended up going to rehab, and I went for like 3 months. I got out, and when I moved back, Jeremy was like, "Do you still want to jam?" And I was like, "Yeah, but I don't want to play that slow stuff anymore. Like, I was bored."
Gotcha.
I wanted to go back to my roots, and I just wanted to play what I wanted to play, which was just fast punk hardcore.
Nice. And how'd you get into like all this life-ruining music?
Probably my uncle. He got me into. He gave me like a Metallica CD when I was younger, and I was like, "Oh, this is cool." But then I got into like Slipknot, and only because I would go to show. I was probably 9, 10 years old, and I'd go to shows, and I'd see the Slipknot logo. I'd be like, that looks cool. Like, I like the font, you
Yeah.
know, it spoke to me. So I got into Slipknot. That changed my life.
Yeah, no,
And then,
it's funny. It's funny how many hardcore dudes are like, yeah, Slipknot. But, you know, I remember like I
Slipknot,
remember
dude, I was in
the
like Corning. I went through the whole nu metal phase.
Oh yeah, we all did, dude. But I remember there was a time where it was like faux pas to wear the Slipknot shirts at the shows, and then it became like the thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird.
So yeah, I got the first Slipknot CD, listened to it 100,000 times, and then I think at some point, like, I was able to download music, and I got this thing called, after Napster and LimeWire and all that stuff, there was this crazy downloading service called SoulSeek, which is, I
Yeah.
know it sounds like a dating service,
Dog,
but
it is still active today, and I still use it today.
okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Because I would get like so many of my friends would just send me albums. He'd be like, "Hey, here's a whole album." I'd be like, "Okay, dope." So I got sent like Minor Threat and Bad Brains, and I was just like, that's where I wanted to go with it, you know.
Yeah.
When I add that like punk element to music, and I think hardcore came in with watching the Hellfest DVDs 30 times every day.
Yeah.
So I added, you know, that whole Converge and Botch and Every Time I Die.
Is that how you got into Walls?
Yes.
Through the DVD? Yeah, because they were on a couple of those DVDs for
absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. And then I kind of just lived in that time period ever since.
So you just are you saying that your go-to for like quote unquote scene music is like early 2000s, late 90s? Is that like
yes.
your okay, yeah. I feel you. I agree. That's a cool
yeah.
that's a cool part of time.
It's really hard to move on from.
Yeah.
And for years I was just jaded with new music, and it was like I was listening, I was like, okay, it's not what I'm used to though. You know, I want that chaotic element. I want that raw feeling. And everything was so polished for
yeah.
so long. Now, finally, there's, you know, really good bands coming out that have that.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is to do with, and I've talked about it a few times, so I apologize to those who listen, you know, once in a while and already heard me say this, but there was like a bastardization, I feel like, in the mid-2000s for like metalcore and hardcore. Because it started yeah. getting on like MTV, and you know, it started getting legs. You know, MySpace was really doing well for, you know, the underground hardcore and metalcore metal world. So I feel like you were saying, production got a little different. It was started like bands stopped doing like, you know, smaller studios and actually had producers and actually had like real studio equipment, and things started, like you said, sounding a little more polished. And also the writing of the music became more like, I want to be on MTV, but I want to still be like a metalcore hardcore band. So
that's
it's
great.
Like, how do I do that? And then I think
right.
we went almost a decade like that. And I want to
yeah.
say,
well, I think, it's probably all in our like same 10 year age range, where I just think when you're at a certain age younger, like that feeling of that you get from music kicks in, and that stays just in the nostalgia region, you know? So it's like that made you feel something at that time. And nowadays that's your go-to. That's just what you bring back and you recall. But I think that's why we have like this resurgence of that raw feeling. And it's just creative. It's very creative. There's bands doing things that are new and fresh, but still give you the feeling of the old school days and that time period of music, which
yeah.
was a main goal for this band.
Cool.
And what I wanted to do.
Yeah. Like kind of nod back to that sound or that time frame, but also, excuse me. I think the sound is changing because like you were saying, it was too polished and it didn't sound like enough. It wasn't enough grit and there wasn't enough DIY feel to it. And I think when bands would hear like, or when people would hear a band from like 2010 to 2015, and then they would hear a band from 2000 to 2005, the audio sounds drastically different. I mean,
oh, yeah.
But it also sounds different because like equipment and, you know, everything just got better for producing too. So it's not just,
agreed, yeah.
you know, that the band sold out. Everything has gotten better, but I think they also have like, producers and engineers and people that, you know, work on audio have kind of tuned it in to where like they can still use all this like great equipment and all these great technologies, but it still sounds raw or still sounds like fucking recorded from a tin can, but good.
Agreed. Yeah. And I think just in that time period, you know, I say Converge, they were just writing songs. And that's what it was. That was the song.
Yeah.
And then progressively, I think more bands started adding more layers to their, you know, just different guitar. Like there's three guitar layers on one thing. You can't play that live.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You, if you're one guitar player, like you can't do that. So it's just it's so polished and overproduced, and that's not my thing. I don't like that.
Yeah. It. You know. I can take it with some and leave it with a lot. That's what I'll say.
Yeah.
I can do that. Are you guys, I know Walls is, you know, they're like starting to gear back up, right? Are you guys, are you guys maybe thinking about doing a little run with them?
I mean, I would love to. Yeah. We're doing, I know they're going to Europe at the same time. We're on opposite days. Kind of sucks because I was hoping one of those days we'd be able to maybe do that track. Well,
Oh,
it'll happen. At some point we'll be able to do it. And just see them again. I saw them at Furnace the last time they were there. That was so cool. I
yeah.
had to run
Which one was
over
that?
to try to see the Converge was playing. They were on the small stage by the lake,
Oh, while
and then
Converge was playing?
Converge had started. That was 2021. I remember the
Yeah,
schedule was
the
so
first one
confusing.
back. Yeah, that first one was crazy. No wonder I don't remember them because I was at Converge.
Yeah.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry, Walt.
Everybody was playing at the same time. It
Yeah,
was
it was
you know,
rough. It was rough
Thursday,
here.
Walls of Jericho, and Converge at the same time.
What are you gonna do? I know what I did.
Run.
I know what I did, but
Yeah. Yeah.
God, well, I just went blank. Speaking of which, for those who are, I know we talked about Soulseek, and obviously, like, you may not have known it's still around, but Soulseek's still around. You
Yeah.
can Google that shit, and like, yeah, you can download full albums, and you can. It's like a peer-to-peer situation where you look up someone's like shared files, just like, I don't know,
Yeah.
Napster or used to do,
It's
and.
the best music downloading. Social media, I mean, you add people, you see what they're listening to.
And you can chat. Yeah, it's
That's
wild.
cool. Yeah.
I forgot about it for a lot of years. And then a buddy of mine about 5 years ago was like, "You ever heard of Soulseek?" And I was like, "I probably heard of Soulseek way before you did. I didn't know it was still around."
Yeah. I was 10 or 11. And you're the first person I've done an interview with where I've mentioned Soulseek and knew what it was.
Oh yeah, it's like the little sprite thing that's flying, like the blue ghost
Right.
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good. Download it and use it, everybody.
Use it.
Oh wait, no, don't do that. Sorry,
Download
don't do that.
our
So yeah, what are you most looking forward once the album comes out? What are you most looking forward to?
Being able to play these songs, I
Oh, you're not
guess.
playing them now?
Seeing how people are going to react to our entire album.
You're not
You
playing
know,
any
we've
new stuff
got.
now? You have to be playing
We
some
do
new.
play a few of them,
Okay.
yeah. It's just, yeah, we're mixing in old songs, new songs, playing mostly stuff from In Transmission, and then we've added in four songs from the new album,
Nice.
which will grow as we release more singles, and then next year just do a bunch of new stuff and throw in a few songs from In Transmission.
You said you don't have to talk about this, you don't want to, but you said you had some addiction issues and you were in rehab for a little bit. Do you
Yep.
what okay, we can talk about that if you want to. I won't go
Sure.
super deep, but
I got no problem with it.
cool. So what brought you to rehab in the beginning? Was it just like alcohol or was it just like other kind of drugs of choice or
A lot of drugs besides heroin.
Yeah.
Mostly alcohol and cocaine were my two drugs of choice.
Is that something that's just like a local situation? Like, is it? I mean, because the South, I don't know. I feel like the South parties a lot, and there's a lot more party stuff going on where, like,
Yeah.
people have the access to that kind of stuff a lot prevalent, more
Yeah.
prevalently.
I mean, it's pretty much it was everywhere and is everywhere now. Now is a little bit more dangerous than then.
Right.
But yeah, everybody over here parties, they drink. So it was hard to escape the alcohol part in Louisiana, for sure. And then it was just a series of like mental health issues and depression and not being where I wanted to be, so I'd use it as an escape, and it got out of hand for just years.
Yeah.
So, finally, I put myself in rehab for I don't know the fifth or sixth time,
Oh, wow.
trying to get off of this and change, and it worked, thank God, the last time.
I'm gonna ask you just the stereotypical question. Why did this fifth time stick, and why didn't any other times before? Because if you had taken yourself before,
Yeah.
were you taking yourself just to like, I should probably do this, or did it work
I
its
think
way up to like, I
the first
need to
few
do
times were
this?
to please others.
Okay,
I had no intention of stopping. I hadn't hit a level where I felt that I needed to. I was also convinced that I didn't have an issue. So the last time, I think there was a mixture between being hypnotized, I think, in some sort of way, but also knowing that I could not continue on the path that I was continuing.
Yeah. So back it up to the hypnotized thing. Did you go to a hypnotist, or were you just
like, No, okay. I didn't go to it. No, I'm just. That's just my guess at what I don't know why stuck or why it worked. I think that I just got to a point in my life where I was so low that I didn't want to any lower, and I wouldn't be here anymore.
Gotcha. Too bad you didn't go to a hypnotist, though. I've never spoken to anyone that has gone to one.
And
I have
me
so
neither,
many
and I
questions.
Would,
yeah.
That would be so cool.
Especially if you're like a Louisiana hypnotist, that's almost like voodoo almost.
I thought about it with stopping cigarettes as well, but I never did it.
Are you still smoking cigarettes?
No.
No? Nice. Are you, I don't want to say like straight edge, but are you clean? Do you no longer drink or no longer partake in any other extracurricular shit?
No. I mean, I like, according to like, I guess the real straight edge, like I'm not, because I do vape and I drink coffee and they have all these rules.
Right.
So,
right.
I don't drink and I'm sober for, just hit 8 years.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
This month. So. Yeah.
I went a year. But, I went a year one time without doing anything.
Nice.
Just because I want to try it. And then I will say the first like couple weeks, the worst. And then once you get out of that, because you have to be around, like I did at least. I had to be around people in settings that had like alcohol and other things going on. But,
right.
You know, after a while, people realized I wasn't drinking. And then... shortly after that, I was like, everyone's just annoying when I'm not partying. Everyone else is fucking annoying, dude.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true.
And then it kind of fucked my tolerance up altogether. So now I can only, if I sniff a beer, I'm, you know, that's the joke around here. Like if I sniff a beer, I can get, you know, a little too lit.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's how it goes. It is tough. It is super hard. I think the first like 2 years for me were just insanely hard, and especially like, playing music, going to venues, playing in bars, you're hanging out with people that
are... Or it's on the road in general, too, yeah.
And then in Louisiana, it's like, if you tell somebody you don't drink, they look at you like you're insane.
I think that's here in Florida, too.
Confused by it.
Yeah. Especially sure? If you had... It's like, especially all the people that I drank with. I mean, and I drink now, too, but it's just a different situation these days. But
yeah,
it's few and far between. But yeah, that's it's fun. It's funny when you're going through that, how like your perspective drastically changes on so many things.
It's tough sometimes, yeah. I don't judge anybody that drinks or anything. And you run across that situation, too, where it's like people are apologetic. Like, I'm so sorry I'm drinking in front of you. I'm like, I'm fine. I'm good. Like, you do what you do.
I'm a grown up.
Yeah.
So how was like how was rehab? Just like, was it a local facility? Did you go somewhere like out of state?
It was the best time of my life.
Yeah? Like every time or just the last time?
No. Some of the worst times of my life.
Well, if you don't want to be there, I could see
why
that.
A few of them didn't work, but the last time was okay. I was comfortable. I knew I wanted to be there and do what I was doing. So I went through with everything. It's just, you know, you just live there. You do like group sessions, talk about things. I think it made me more open as a person too, to be honest, and like, you know, vulnerable with feelings and stuff like that. I don't know. It's weird.
It is. And I don't know if that's like my upbringing or my personality, or is it because like I joined the hardcore scene at like, you know, late teens, and you had to be a hardcore tough guy, and you just were like a man, right? You had to be like a man about
right.
it. And so you have that kind of preconceived notions, and then when someone's talking about feelings, you're like, lame.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how I was for years. And then like I started talking about like how I was feeling, and I was like, damn, this shit feels good.
Yeah. Some of that comes with age too and maturity.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean it's all put into our music as well, you know. We're all very chill. We're super nice. We like to hang out with people. Music's just angry, because that's really what we feel, you know.
Yeah. It's also cool. Angry music can be cool. Angry music can also be happy. Like was it happy Agreed. Music for angry people? August Burns Red, or angry music for happy people? There you go.
There you go. Agreed.
Hey, when you were—I don't want to hop off the subject too far, but I wanted to ask you when we were talking about Killswitch. Did you guys spend any time like hanging out or like chatting with them? Because I know, like, I think we had Currents on, and they were kind of like reserved or doing something else at most of the time.
Yeah. Of course, they had a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, 'cause they're all like
But
grown adults
there
with
was
things.
like I it was crazy because they watched our sets every night, so they were there and attentive and let us know they actually really enjoyed the music. And Jesse made the joke where, he was like, "This tour is perfect. It's kind of like it was handpicked," because they do like this democratic vote on which bands are going to play. And it's cool. I talked to Jesse and Adam mostly, and they're just such down-to-earth people. It was shocking almost to know that, like, at their level, they're talking about scouring Bandcamp to find bands that are just underground and want to listen to them.
Yeah.
So, like, I gave Jesse like this whole list of bands. I was like, "Oh, dude, okay, got you." And
That's
he was just typing them into his phone as I'm saying them
Yeah.
to go listen to. That's
Who are some that you kind of gave Jesse, if you don't mind me asking?
Brat. They're from New Orleans. One of my top. So, like, locally, I get Brat, and then Torture Garden, also from New Orleans. Writhings, they're from my hometown. Boar, Under the Pier. Most likely Holy Ghost. I don't know. I rambled off this whole list, and he was just typing them into his notepad on his phone.
Yeah.
It's like, man, you gotta listen to these bands. Like,
Yeah.
they're
Well,
doing some cool.
that's pretty cool that they still try to maintain their ear to the underground. Because, it's very easy for bands to just be, especially at that level, to just be like
Yeah.
cut off and just disassociated.
Right. Well, I mean, there's some bigger tours like that. They're after, like, money. You pay for the advertisements and stuff like that, and it's cool to see a band just up there, like, "We don't care. We want to take the people we want to take on tour, because we like their music and we enjoy it and we want to support it."
Yeah. So you guys have been pretty busy in the last like handful of months, years. Do you
Yeah.
do anything outside of Capra when you're like at home, like currently? Do you have another, I don't want to say job, but do you have another income source that you have like, you do on the side to, carry you over from tours to other things like that?
Yeah, we all have our own thing, and I think mine's probably the weirdest and
Good.
surprises people when I do it. But I work for a card shop, so I deal with, like, Pokemon cards and like Magic and MetaZoo and stuff like that. So I stream and
Right.
do, like, pack openings and stuff like that for people. Well,
Hold
what you
on.
got? You in a box yet?
Got a box. They're not Pokemans or Magics, but I'm a baseball guy. So I've got
Oh, that's awesome.
five or six boxes over here to my side. This is the
That's
small one.
awesome. Yes,
Yeah.
I've been collecting that kind of stuff since I was a kid. Not so much into, like, sports.
No,
I
I
have a
got
love, but I don't know anything about it.
you. I definitely, probably not a good idea to mention it on the podcast, but I definitely grew up watching Pokemon, playing the game, and I
Right.
even played the card game as well. I just didn't really collect any of that stuff. Because I grew out of it. My, way before I got into like nu metal and hardcore, I was out of Pokemon, and I like to call it Pokemon just because.
Pokemon.
Yeah, but
No, yeah, I totally get it.
I played Magic, and
Never
I even played
watched
the Star
it. I
Wars
never
game.
played it. But as a kid, I collected it and I kept everything in, like, mint condition. And then I got back into it, I think 2018 or 19, when I found all of those cards and I realized how much money they were worth. So then it just sparked this whole, like, "Oh, I miss doing that."
Yeah. So
Some of,
you're.
like, some of the newer sets, I got re-addicted to it.
Yeah. I definitely spend a lot of my time at night. I don't watch TV anymore for the most part. And I got flamed on Twitter recently because I said that there's not been a good movie in the last 10 plus years. There has not been a good movie because for some reason movies have just been like subpar for the most part. It's not like when I was younger. But I spend a lot of my time watching YouTube and at night, and some of that stuff is like card openings and like people streaming cards. So, you saying that you
Yeah.
do that is pretty funny because I've been down that rabbit hole many times. Again, mostly on baseball, not on like Magic or Pokemon. But when you
It's
go to card shops,
an insanely growing business, which is nuts. And I never saw that coming. So
yeah.
luckily I made friends with some people that own a card shop, and they allowed me to do that from home. So
Nice.
Just constantly working with my hands.
What's your biggest grail that you have, that you own, and what's one that you don't
own?
Have?
I don't know how to go through that. I have a ton.
You don't got like a Charizard, bro? Isn't the Charizard the one?
I have this right here.
An unopened sealed pack. Is it graded? You have a graded pack?
Yeah, this is unopened. It's first edition fossil from 1999.
Nice.
One of the first sets.
Do you have any graded ones?
I have like a crazy PSA 10 collection.
Nice. Okay. So you're in the shits. We're talking about a lot of stuff people probably have no idea now, you know? We've lost them all.
Right.
45 minutes in, they're all gone anyway, right? So
they're done at this point.
Do you ever go, we're going to go down a rabbit hole now, big dog. Do you ever do card shows?
No.
No?
I wish. I would love to.
Do you just not have time?
Just go to one. So like the card shop that I work for, they're in Dallas, Texas. And every time there's like a Comic-Con or a card show that they go to, I am on tour. So I haven't been able to make it yet.
And you'll be on tour tomorrow. So you're definitely not going to be at the National in Chicago this weekend.
I will not. Unfortunately, yeah. We'll be in Chicago September.
The card show will not be there. But I know a lot of people are probably clowning on us right now talking about cards. But they, I've never seen. I think Magic and Pokemon cards are like probably the most expensive that I see on a regular basis. Just because it's a game and people play it, whereas like sports cards, football is, some of the football and soccer and UFC shit is insane. I don't collect any of that stuff, but the only one I collect is baseball. But I think baseball is like the least valuable out of the ones I've been messing with lately. But it is insane how much. I mean, like we're talking thousands.
Some of the football cards I've seen have gone for they have the one of ones. You know what I mean?
Six figures, seven figures sometimes. It is nuts.
Buy a house and change your life money.
Yeah. Especially if you like, and that's the problem. Do you, as a card collector and buyer, because Dylan, my partner in Lamb Goat, is also a baseball card enthusiast as well. Probably why I got back into the fucking stupid hobby that's just a money pit. But do you buy the pack to open the pack, or do you buy the card?
For a while I was buying the pack to play the game, and then realized I am not rich. So now I buy, like, I dwindled down what I collect to certain things, but now I just, if I have some extra money and want to treat myself to, you know, something like that, I do like a PSA 10 or, I just get it how it's going to make money in the future. I don't buy just the card. I want it at the 10. That way later, it's in immaculate condition.
Right.
Best condition it can be.
And for those who don't know what the nerds are talking about, he has a PSA graded 10 card. Yeah. He has a PSA 10 graded card, which is like a mint, near mint, like top of the line, immaculate card that I think the values for the values between a 9.5 and a 10 can sometimes be thousands of dollars, if not more. So, when you get a 9, that's cool, and it's a great card, and you may not see anything wrong with it. But if you somehow get a grader that gives you a 10, you've instantly just like double, triple, quadrupled your value of that card at a 9 level or more. So, all right, nerd talk.
We've lost everyone.
Yeah. Let's get back into some music stuff to round out the end here.
Yeah.
What's the overall overarching goal for the band? Like, what would be a success? What does success look like to Capra as a band, not just to you?
I think the answer would be that we've already attained that level of success that we were looking for last month. Mm-hmm. And then, so now we just keep upping it to like, what's the next level we can go. And I honestly don't think I'll ever be satisfied. I will keep going and going and going until I don't know what happens.
Yeah. So where do you see
very cool stuff that most of us have just dreamed about.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, again, when I talked to Currents about the Killswitch gig, I mean, when that lineup came out, I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, I was like, how did you, like, no offense to you guys, but I've seen you kind of start, you know, in the last couple of years. So it's like, I know the shows you guys are playing and where you guys are at in your trajectory, and so to speak. But also it's like, how the fuck did that happen? I mean, that was great. That was great for you guys, obviously. And it's great, obviously, because now...
We asked the same question, honestly.
But clearly it's because Jesse and the band do give kind of a shit about who they align themselves with on the road. So, you know, it's good. It's great to know that they're doing at least 3 seconds of research for who they're sharing stages with.
Yeah, absolutely. They had listened to us and loved our music. I think Adam had talked about us on a podcast one time, which we were all just like, he mentioned our name. That's insane.
Yeah.
And then we started joking about touring with them, and then it happened.
So you've already kind of had a dream tour, so to speak. What's the next dream tour?
We have some things to announce pretty soon that I think I don't know how much higher it can go.
Oh yeah.
We have some really cool shows coming up. We do have some more announcements to make and drop this year, and just kind of going so quickly. And,
well, I'm looking forward to the Limp Bizkit Capra tour. That is for sure. That's as big as you can get, big dog.
You joke, but see what happens in the next few weeks.
Hey, I'm honestly hoping, because I am probably the biggest Limp Bizkit fan there is. I'm from Jacksonville. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Yeah. I would... We'll talk after the podcast.
yeah, for sure. We definitely will. So, any last thoughts before we kind of cut out here? There's only 3 people listening total that cared about Cards, Capra, and, you know, hardcore, metallic hardcore.
You, me, and one other mystery person. Yeah,
probably some guy that works for Lamb Goat that's just, you know, having to edit this. So,
yeah, exactly. Well, thank you. I hope everybody enjoyed at least first 35% of the
35 minutes, dude. What are you talking about? We went a while.
We did go a while talking music. Yeah. But we have way too much coming up. I'm stressed. So we're gonna get through it all and make it happen. We got some new singles coming out with a new music video pretty soon. Album drops October 6th.
Metal Blade.
Metal Blade. We've got some stuff coming in November, and then we'll see what happens next year.
Cool. I mean,
end to end. Nowadays, whenever we're talking about shows and booking, I'm like, I don't know.
Just
let me get through this one, and we'll talk about the next.
So you don't how far out are your is your schedule booked? Do you have an idea?
Through November. So we're going to take December off, that's for sure.
And you don't have anything planned for the early next year?
We are working on a few things. We have some offers that have come in, and then we're trying to plan out a full U.S. tour. So at some point next year, we'll be able to line that up and see how it works out.
Cool. Well, awesome. Yeah, if you're still here, you got the album October 6th, Capra. You can find them on social media these days. Don't worry, they're on there. And they're leaving for Europe tomorrow. So by the time this is out, they're either still there or just coming back. We don't know yet. The future holds
everything. We'll be back August 28th, 29th,
something
like that.
Oh, yeah.
So next month we start the tour. Or I say next month. September, we start the tour with Zayo. We play the first show with them in Detroit and come down to Chicago.
Great. Great band, too. Great band. Well, check them out, Capra. Tyler, thank you for your time, and I look forward to seeing you again at some point.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, no problem.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.